number one sports site in the world.
Live from the Quick and Loan studios of the Yahoo Sports Radio headquarters. Nighttime is the right time.
You're on the nighttime now.
It's Tony D on Yahoo Sports Radio.
I told you it wouldn't be entertaining. I told you that this series was not going to be entertaining. And right now, I'm one for one. It may be the only time that I'm one for one, so let me pat myself on the back for 2 seconds. I don't know what you're thinking. Oh, that's easy. We all predicted that. I know, but give me something, okay? Because I thought the Warriors would win Game 1 over the Oklahoma City Thunder. Hey, it's Tony D here on the Nighttime on Yahoo Sports Radio. And yes, Game 1 of the Eastern Conference Finals was not an entertaining affair at all. Unless you like watching the Cavaliers work. If you like that, then this was a great game. If that's all you were into, like, I don't care what the score is. I just want to see every time the Cavaliers have the ball, them doing X, Y, and Z, moving the ball, LeBron making every shot he takes, Kyrie scoring some points, them scoring at close range. They didn't knock down 25 three-pointers in this game tonight. They only had seven. So, but LeBron was nearly perfect from the floor. It was a real complete beatdown. It was just a textbook example of why Cleveland right now is on this 9-0 playoff run. A lot of it has to do with the competition, but even if you're playing bad competition, it's still the NBA playoffs. There are still professional basketball players on the other side. And every now and then, you're just going to cough one up. We don't expect teams to roll through any playoff series, all of them. And right now, Cleveland looks like they're on the verge of doing that. They could go to the finals without a loss in any of their three series in the Eastern Conference. And yeah, I know Detroit's not that great, and Atlanta's all right, but they're not that great. But this Toronto team is good. When they're on, they are good. And tonight, they were no match. And this series, I hate to say it, is as over as you can get after Game 1. Yesterday, I was really quick to point out, and I did this all 3 hours of the show, let's not overread in a Game 1 here between the Thunder and the Warriors. Let's not make this a referendum on, hey, the Warriors are in massive trouble or anything like that. This was a good Game 1 victory for Oklahoma City. I can't say the same thing here, as much as I'd like to say the same thing here. I don't think I can, because watching this game as much as I was into it, and again, I got easily distracted because I'm not interested in watching every possession the Cavaliers have to see if they can do X, Y, or Z. I don't see anything that Toronto can do or do better at that will thwart this Cavaliers team. This is as good of a basketball team in a playoffs as I've ever seen. And again, I know a lot has to do with the competition. I do get that. It's not lost on me. But boy, they look efficient. They look like LeBron has fine-tuned everything. Like the regular season was nothing more than trying out new engine parts to see if they would fit. And we're going to try this air pressure, and we're going to try this roof flap, and we're going to try this in the transmitter, transmission, and we're going to try, and all of a sudden he goes, yeah, you may not like the way the engine sounds, and sometimes it putters out in lap 14, but you know what? When we get to race day, everything is going to be perfect. You have to trust me, everything is going to be perfect. And I feel that that's exactly what's happened. All of the little tiny drama that has surrounded the Cavaliers this year is now insignificant, because in the end, what the Cavaliers wanted all this whole time, again, the firing of David Blatt, all the cryptic stuff LeBron was doing, trying to find their role, getting upset at Kevin Love, all the stuff that we talked about in February and January and early December, and all those times where we were wondering, is there something going on in Cleveland that we should be paying attention to? Is there something going on with the Cavaliers that we should be worried about? We all said, yeah, we'll see in the playoffs. We'll see in the playoffs. And so far in the playoffs, it's been fantastic. 115-84. 115-84. This is a 31-point victory. And it didn't even feel, it felt like it could have been 50 if the Cavaliers wanted it to be. So again, the Western Conference, let's not make much out of Game 1. Eastern Conference, take a lot out of Game 1, because I don't think Toronto is going to be in this series at all. 800-777-2907, 800-777-2907. Also, you can hit us up on Twitter, at Tony D Radio. We're cruising through the night tonight. We're going to talk a little Lakers basketball coming up at the bottom of the hour. And the reason is because the Lakers got the number two pick in the upcoming NBA draft because the lottery was being held on Tuesday night. And the Philadelphia 76ers got one. The Lakers got two. And you know what's great about the Lakers at two? They don't even have to make a decision. They don't have to analyze players. They don't have to work out guys. They don't have to do anything. The Lakers don't have to be involved in any of the draft analysis. The only thing the Lakers have to do, unless they're going to trade this pick, my God, but the only thing the Lakers have to do is just sit back and watch Philadelphia take either Brandon Ingram or Ben Simmons, and then they get to take the other guy. That's it. That's all they have to do. No, we're not going to be working out Chris Dunn. No, we're not going to be working out Buddy Hield. No, we're not going to work out Denzel Valentine. No, we're not going to work out any of the foreign players. No, if you take Brandon Ingram, we'll take Ben Simmons. You take Ben Simmons, we'll take Brandon Ingram. That's all the Lakers have to do. Shehan Ahmed is going to join us from NBC LA, but we are going to talk about what the Lakers offseason is going to look like. Because, yes, they do have the number two pick, and it is the easiest pick in the draft. But they're also going to have a lot of money in cap room. Do they go to two max players? Who are the guys on their radar? What about trading a couple of players that are currently on the team? What about trading this pick? Who's actually running the Lakers? We'll talk about that coming up at the bottom of the hour in 25 minutes. Shehan Ahmed, NBC LA, will join us at the bottom of the hour. The NBA draft lottery, again, Philadelphia wins, and I can almost hear the NBA moan and groan because tanking worked. Tanking worked. The Philadelphia 76ers, they were doing this all year. They wanted to get the top pick in the draft, and they got the top pick in the draft. They had a 25% chance, and it played out for them. Lakers, same thing. The Lakers were looking for the top pick. They got the two. Celtics got the three. It played out the way it was supposed to by the odds. I like the draft lottery when it's mixed up a little bit. I like it when we get an unexpected pick or somebody that wasn't supposed to be up in the top three gets in the top three, or somebody defies the odds and gets maybe the number one overall pick. But that didn't happen. It was a rather uneventful draft from that standpoint, or draft lottery, I should say, from that standpoint. It played out the way the odds were supposed to play out. And in that way, it was kind of dull from a drama standpoint. But you can hear the NBA groan over this. I mean, I accuse them of rigging the 85 draft. I don't know if they rigged the draft after LeBron left Cleveland. I don't know if they've rigged other drafts, although I have my suspicions. Dikembe Mutombo, though, sent out a tweet congratulating the Philadelphia 76ers on winning the NBA draft lottery, except he did it in the afternoon before the draft lottery was held. He says it was just a coincidence, but you know the conspiracy theories in sports. They automatically run to that. And the draft lottery, unfortunately, lends itself to more of that than I think anything else in sports. You have to convince me deep if you're going to have me believe that the NBA or the NFL or Major League Baseball rigs games for ratings. I know I get that all the time, right? I'll get that, the NBA doesn't want the Sacramento Kings in the finals, or the NBA doesn't want the Oklahoma City Thunder in the finals. They want the Lakers, and they want... I hear that every single year, and I've heard that for over a decade. There's always guys who will buy that there's a referendum or memorandum that comes down that says make sure these teams are in. I don't buy those. I think it's too complicated. You run the risk of ruining public trust, so I don't buy those. But the draft lottery, I'm sorry, the draft lottery is perfect for conspiracy theories. We're not really sure who's guarding it. We're not really sure who's behind closed doors when those ping pong balls are drawn. We are told that it's all secured on the up and up. We're not sure. We can totally see why the league would manipulate it. They have a lot to gain by sending their superstars to certain markets. It just lends itself. There's no evidence of it. I mean, I told you this yesterday. I've always bought into the 85 rigged draft. A lot of people have. Frozen envelope, creased envelope. I don't know. Whatever David Stern pulled out of that big bingo ball, I thought that it was rigged to get Patrick Ewing to New York. I still stand by that, and I think a lot of people still believe that. However, we don't have any evidence for that. Like no one has ever come out and said, oh, yeah, now that I'm retired and on my deathbed, let me share you a little secret. David Stern came to me and said, how can I get the envelope out of that bag, out of that box with the New York Knicks logo on it? Nobody's ever said that. And that's usually what kills conspiracies, right? The lack of that smoking gun. But the NBA draft lottery is perfect for it. But this one, you can almost guarantee was not rigged at all. Because if there was one entity in sports that hated the idea of tanking on purpose to get the number one pick, it was the NBA. But the Sixers did it, and the Sixers got it. We'll talk more NBA next. I am Tony D, Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
All right, thanks for joining us here on Yahoo Sports Radio. Again, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, or 800-777-2907. We're talking about LeBron James and the Cavaliers as they roll past the Raptors. God, can we get an Eastern Conference game that I actually like? I think I'm 0-4, let's see, 9 games so far for the Cavaliers, plus whatever we had with Atlanta and Miami, and it. I haven't really enjoyed any games out of the East. I haven't enjoyed any series out of the East. Even the ones that have gone 7 games, I have found pretty much a waste of time. I'm sorry. That may sound like a basketball snob, but I'm not going to sugarcoat this. The Eastern Conference outside of the Cleveland Cavaliers, it's a bad conference. It's a bad conference with bad teams, and the Cavaliers are rolling, and they're making it look easy. Now, they're good. I mean, don't get me wrong. The Cavaliers are great, but... And there's really nobody in the conference that can stand up to them. But if we're going to get games like this in this game one, and like I said earlier tonight, I am looking at this game one as sort of a mark for this series. I know that we're not supposed to. It's a long series. It's not over yet. You'll hear all these cliches. But what about the Raptors in this playoffs have given you any indication that they are capable of standing toe-to-toe and making this a series? I'm not saying they're going to get swept. Oh, they'll win a game. I mean, I think they're good enough to win a game. But they're not winning this series at all. At all. They should be happy they're in the Eastern Conference Finals for the first time. The Cavaliers will win this in at least 5. And then we'll go from there. Then we'll get to the finals. And LeBron, again, he'll be pressurized to get this deal done, giving a victory and a championship to the city of Cleveland. And we'll break down all that again. But he's not getting competition in the East. Do you remember when LeBron when people talked about where LeBron was going to go? Right? Remember when he was in Miami and nobody knew where he was going to go, but they felt like he was going to leave? It was all weird. Remember that he was in Las Vegas and, you know, they were trying to get a hold of him and they were trying to figure out what his next move was. And people were saying, well, I think he's going to go back to Cleveland. And some people said, oh, I don't know. Maybe he'll go to the Lakers or maybe he'll go. He was never leaving the Eastern Conference ever. Why would you leave the Eastern Conference? You own the Eastern Conference. There's a point I brought up yesterday, right? The last time a LeBron James-less team went to the NBA Finals was the 2010 Boston Celtics. I mean, you've got LeBron going 4 straight times in Miami and last year with Cleveland. He's about ready to go to his 6th straight NBA Finals. Now, the Warriors on the Western side of the basketball playoffs could be in a little trouble if they lose game 2. I'm not going to say that that series would be over, but it would be close. The one thing about Oklahoma City and just listening and reacting to all the analysis of how good Oklahoma City was in that game 3, one of the clear points that was made about this was how unafraid the Thunder are against the Warriors. It's all right, let me just, they really believe they can win. Don't tell them, but they really believe they can win. That's clear. They're not, and every team says that, right? Oh, we're just as good as anybody. But they know. Portland knew. They knew they were going to have to play a perfect game if they were going to beat Golden State. They were going to have to hope for things like, oh, Curry getting re-hurt or, you know, something along those lines. Not this Thunder team. They played the Warriors 3 times, and while they lost all 3 games, they felt they were in a majority of them. They were in at least 2. and they're not afraid of him. And Russell Westbrook's not afraid of Curry and the Warriors as a team. But Golden State could be in trouble if they lose game two. Now, I think the Warriors still win this series, and I think they go to the NBA Finals. But you know, it wouldn't blow me away if the Thunder pulled this off. But what if the Thunder did win this series? Think about the ramifications of that for a second. It's the equivalent of the Patriots going 16-0 during the regular season and losing the Super Bowl. But, except the Warriors are not in the NBA Finals. You just would have this, oh man. And every Chicago Bulls fan in the nation would go, ha, see, told you, got to close out the deal. Yeah, you wanted those 73 wins, but you got to have the ring. You can't set the mark and not get the ring. And how would we remember this Warriors team? Like we remember the 2007 Patriots. I mean, remember the 2007 Patriots? Man, they were great, right? Winning 16 games in the regular season, and some by the skin of their teeth. I remember the Baltimore Ravens game, for example, where they had the Patriots stopped, but a late timeout by the Ravens gave the Patriots a second chance. I mean, all sorts of close calls. And then they played the Giants at the end of the season, and they beat the Giants. And then they met the Giants again in the Super Bowl, and then the Giants knew what they needed to do in that game by what they saw in the regular season finale, which they lost. And when we think about the 2007 Patriots, we go, yeah, but boy, they couldn't win that Super Bowl. And that's what we'll look back on the Warriors of 2016. You know, all the three-pointers that they hit. 400 by Steph Curry, league MVP. 73 wins. They did so with an interim coach at the beginning of the year. They went 26-0. They were the must-see television in a league that had only about three teams capable of winning the finals. It still was a fun year in the NBA because they made it so. But if they don't win this, we're not going to remember any of that. We're going to remember a team that didn't fulfill what we all thought they would. And I'm telling you, even if they get by this Thunder team, the Cavaliers are very capable of taking them down the way they're playing now. This is what I've been waiting for. This is what I brag about when it comes to the playoffs in the NBA. This is what I tell my friends, again, who are hockey fans and go crazy because anybody can win. I point to this time and say, yes, no, the Indiana Pacers cannot win the NBA Finals. No, the Atlanta Hawks cannot win the NBA Finals. And neither can the Memphis Grizzlies, and neither can the Dallas Mavericks. But the teams that can make very compelling series. I think this Thunder Warrior series is going to be classic. I think it's going to go 6-7, and I think it's going to have defining moments. I think Billy Donovan is going to emerge out of this series an amazing NBA coach. I think he is going to make a statement about his ability to coach in this league. If he hasn't done so already, for crying out loud. I think whoever emerges from the West when they play Cleveland, I think that series is going to be epic, and it's going to define LeBron's legacy even more because he's either going to capture that title for Cleveland, which has eluded the city, a championship that's eluded that city forever. He's either going to accomplish that. And as I've said all along, LeBron doesn't want six like Michael Jordan. He wasn't obsessed with that like Kobe was. He wants one. He wants one. And that is the one that gives the city a parade. Or he's going to lose again, like he did in 2007 and 2011 and 2014 and 2015. And that, to me, he'll be 2-5 in the NBA Finals in 7 appearances lifetime. And that will start getting the kind of buzz and attention of how do we define a career of one of the greatest players in the NBA and yet look at the failures in the finals. Tony D, Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
Rolling through the night here on Yahoo Sports Radio and talking NBA, not only the playoffs, but the draft lottery that was held on Tuesday night. Philadelphia has the number one pick. The number two pick belongs to the LA Lakers. And boy, they got a really interesting offseason coming up. Shahan Ahmed joins us from NBC LA to talk Lakers basketball. How are you, my friend?
Not too bad. How are you doing? Things are good now.
Thank you.
Right about now, aren't they?
Yeah, right. I'm assuming that they have the easiest pick in the draft coming up. Whoever the Philadelphia 76ers don't take between Ingram and Simmons is where the Lakers are going to go. Am I assuming correctly here?
You are, but that's not what Mitch Kupchak would say. He kind of had a tendency to, and he already said tonight, you know, it's not just a two-person draft. They're going to work out a bunch of people, just like they did last year. You know, I heard you earlier saying they don't need to work out any foreigners. They don't have to work out Buddy Hield, anybody else. They will. That's kind of standard operating procedure for them. They like to look at as many people as they can. And, you know, I think that might plant a seed in their mind. They might decide, hey, we might be better off trading this for something down in the draft a little bit further. But I personally don't think that they'll end up doing that. You know, the way that it's set up, you can't trade this pick. You can only trade it within the draft. You can't trade out of the draft until you've already made the pick. So I think that if they do make a trade, I would expect that they would do it for somebody who's more established, because the thing is, you know, both these guys, it's not going to be day one, I don't expect, and I think most people don't. You're talking about an 18-year-old and a 19-year-old.
In terms of the building blocks that the Lakers need, and go back to the trade possibility, even though we think that they won't, does it make sense, given where the Lakers need to go in the future to pick up pieces and to pick up guys, is it not out of the realm of possibility that they would trade the number two pick?
Oh, I would actually probably tell them to do it, but I don't think I'm necessarily in the majority when it comes to the fan base. I think that with the last 3 years being the three worst years since the franchise moved to Los Angeles, and, you know, last year being all downright the worst year ever, even going back to Minneapolis before they moved, it's one of those situations where they want to get out of this as soon as possible. And as you know, as enticing a talent as Ben Simmons may be, or Brandon Ingram, depending on which one they get, that's not going to make them playoff team next year. That's just not the reality. So they need to attract free agents. And yeah, I mean, they have a ton of cap room, you know, with Kobe coming off the books, the salary cap going up. I think the number that's being bounced around is $60 million, and that's comfortably, you can add two max players. But the thing is that if you try and get max players and they look at just kids, they look around and say, hey, we're still a few years away. I'm not sure I want to come to a team that's a few years away if you're talking about those premier free agents. So I think that for me personally, I would make a trade to get that first guy that would help get the dominoes rolling on the second guy or the third guy, and really build a contender if you really want to get out of this rut quickly. Really what this pick did was it gave the Lakers options, and that's just something they haven't had in the last couple of years, which is why they've had to go, you know, the stealth tank mode is the way that we refer to it. But they've essentially been tanking it. They never admitted to it. They never copped to it. But let's just say they weren't really upset when it came lottery time or draft time when they had the number two pick the last 2 years. And even Julius Randle, they were very happy with him. They thought he was one of the top prospects there. And, you know, in limited minutes, he averaged a double-double last year in what was really his rookie season. So when you look at the pieces that they have, I think that you would probably have to move probably two of the three young stars that they have in D'Angelo Russell, Julius Randle, and Jordan Clarkson. Not stars exactly, but you know, developing talents. I think teams have interest in that, and you probably package that with the number two pick if you're going to really go for somebody big. And, you know, if you ask me who, with Mitch Kupchak, you just never know. It comes out of nowhere. No one really saw that Pau Gasol thing happening when it happened. It's really, they're going to have some conversations. Some people will bounce some ideas around. And if something sounds right, you know, I asked Mitch Kupchak point blank, is anybody in this roster untradeable? And he said no. I mean, he said if it makes the team better, everybody's available. It's just, you know, they had that thing with Kobe for about 20 years where they couldn't really trade him. And, you know, they said they even got close about 10, 11, 12 years ago. But really, right now, considering they're coming off a 17-win season, there's really nowhere but up to go. They have assets. They can actually make this team much better really, really quickly. And I think that you're not really going to hear about any real trades going down or even being talked about until – after the draft. And then, you know, free agency will start almost immediately. I'm not sure if they're going to want to see how free agents react to what they have on their books and then think about going through a trade, or if they're going to try and move it right away. But, you know, when you look at both their options, I mean, Ben Simmons and Brandon Ingram, this was the best-case scenario for the Lakers, was to end up in a one or two spot. I think for them, they're looking at it as being pretty much an equal position. And, yeah, you know, I'm seeing some of these mock drafts say that Brandon Ingram's the number one and Ben Simmons is number two, which would work fine. I think, you know, I think Ingram's probably fits their needs a little bit better because he is more, I mean, when I was looking at his draft profile, he reminds me of KD, to be honest with you, who is the premier free agent. But considering how the Thunder look, I don't see KD leaving this year. I don't know about you. What do you think?
No, I'm with you. I thought about this when the conversation was, gee, if they got swept by the Spurs, what could this mean? Well, that's now out the window. He's got a championship team right now.
Yeah, exactly. And then you look at guys like Steven Adams, who's only 22 and seems to be getting better by the game. And just that the supporting cast in OKC is going to be better than it's going to be most anywhere else he jumps ship to. And I just don't think that he's – I think he's going to probably do a one-and-one, you know, one-year deal with a player option on the second year. And then that's just in case, you know, Russell Westbrook decides to jump ship. He'll have his out as well, and they'll, you know, they'll talk about it and they'll figure it out together. But I think that this year there's just – no matter where they end up, let's say they end up losing the Warriors, I think they look at it and they say, hey, we're close. We can go and do this, and next year still we're not scared of the Warriors, which they clearly aren't if anybody wants to get one.
Let me ask you about L.A. You know, I grew up in the 80s, and I watched the Lakers and the Celtics all the years, and L.A. was this great sizzling market and whatnot. And I grew up in New England, so I was more on the Celtic side of things. Here we are in 2016, and the world is a smaller place. Does L.A. still carry the same free agent desire that it did in the past? Can you still sell L.A.? Can you still sell the Lakers even as a rebuilding project?
I think you can, but I don't think you can sell it to the top free agents the way that you used to be able to in the past. I think that L.A., you know, Ben Simmons is the perfect example. That whole hubbub going on about his shoe deal, he was waiting on whether – he was hoping, and he's still waiting on the Lakers to hopefully get that number one spot. It was the word going into the draft before he signed the shoe deal because he thought that Nike would up the money that they were offering him, and he wouldn't have to go with Adidas on that one because – he wanted to go with Nike, but Adidas was giving a better offer. Because the market is huge, I think that there is potential to still get those guys, especially it's still a great city to play. It's still the franchise has a lot of, you know, has that luster that players do gravitate to. But with the way social media is, and, you know, you look at the biggest stars in the league, and, you know, LeBron in Cleveland's a great example. You look at Kevin Durant in OKC. He won the MVP in OKC and was just as big a star as anybody else in the league. I don't think that you have to be in that big market anymore. And, you know, the way the salary cap rules are set up, it's not like someone's just going to go to a different team and get paid more money. It's one of those things where there really isn't that much incentive to go to Los Angeles. Now, for a guy like DeMar DeRozan, there might be because he's paying more in taxes up in Canada, and it probably helps him out to come out to California on that one and, you know, come closer to home. So you could see some, you know, some gravitational pull for him to try and get over here. But in terms of guys like Kevin Durant or really, really the top guys, I think that the best acquisition is going to be initially through trade. And then once you get that first piece, I think people might look over and say, hey, they're building something. They got some young guys too. And someone might want to hop onto that and understand that the second you come over to LA, your personal brand value goes through the roof, especially if you're on a winner.
Absolutely. Sean Ahmed, again, NBC LA on the Lakers. Interesting offseason coming up. They'll have the number two pick in the upcoming draft. Always good talking to you, my friend. Thank you so much, as always.
No problem. Anytime.
All right, coming up, we'll talk a little baseball because there's one way to get fired, and then there's the way the Atlanta Braves do their firing, which really was a little shocking. All right, I am Tony D, 800-777-2907. Also hit us up on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, especially your thoughts on the NBA playoffs, because Cleveland is a-rolling. It's Tony D, Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D, on the third shift.
It's Tony D, with you, on Yahoo Sports Radio. and yahoosportsradio.com.
Remember yesterday on the show, if you were listening, I told you the story about how the Atlanta Falcons were building their new stadium and they were going to lower concession prices and they were going to make it affordable for a family of four to actually eat at a game where you could actually get meals for a family of four for less than $30. And I said, this sounds like an onion story. This sounds like a story that is like made up because it's too good to be true. If there's one thing we've accepted as sports fans is that we are going to be gouged when we go to sporting events. We're going to pay $30 to park our car and we're going to pay $100 to eat leftover chicken tenders with warm fries and a stale Coke. That's just the way it goes. Oh, maybe some nachos, maybe a cheap burger, but we're going to get gouged. That's the way it goes. Well, lo and behold, it wasn't an onion story. They're actually doing that. But I tried to find my onion story today. I tried to find the story that was too good to be true or too weird to be true. And I stumbled upon another one where I said, no, this couldn't have possibly happened. And lo and behold, it involves the city of Atlanta again. Freddie Gonzalez, who is the manager of the Atlanta Braves going into his sixth season, was fired after the team started 9-28. They are an awful baseball team, However, this is exactly what the Atlanta Braves had set Freddie Gonzalez up to do, was manage a bunch of young kids on a bad baseball team because they got rid of some of their better players as they're trying to rebuild. But apparently the rebuilding does not include going 9-28, one of your worst starts. However, how you fire a guy, I don't know if any of you ever been laid off before, if any of you ever been fired before. I've never been fired from a job, but I have been laid off. I don't know if it's the same thing, but I like to think it isn't. I got fired from a hotel job when I was in college. I was a bellman at a hotel, and part of my job was to set up rooms in for conferences. And yeah, I had to clean them all up. You know, I had to take out chairs and put up tables and, you know, dress it up nice and put out the water pitcher and all that stuff so that conferences could occur the next day. And we kind of had a manager, and she was, let's say she was a manager, but she wasn't, you could tell immediately she didn't have the strength of a manager. She kind of could be pushed around a little bit. You could get away with some stuff and goof off a little bit. And what she was having a bad night, and she told me to go in this room and clean it. And I said something I shouldn't have said, and I kind of blew some kisses her way as she was walking away. And that was enough for her. And the next day I went in and I was told I was let go, that she didn't want to work. So I remember going home, and they sat me down and they explained why I was fired and whatnot. And they explained why they were letting me go. And I remember going home and telling my father, and he went, see, now lesson learned. He's like, I can't believe you did that. Like, well, you learned your lesson. So I've been fired, and I've been fired in a proper way. I was rude to that woman. I should have been let go on the spot. I should have been yelled at. I should have been verbally dressed down. And yet I still got a meeting. I got to explain my case. I got to make apologize. And it wasn't good enough, and I was let go. Freddie Gonzalez was not treated in this manner, and he has done nothing wrong but lose with a bad baseball team. How did the Atlanta Braves fire him, or how did he find out he was being fired? Gonzalez received an email notifying him that he had a scheduled flight to Atlanta on Tuesday. The Braves were in Pittsburgh to finish up a series with the Pirates. The Braves made a decision to fire him, booked his flight home, didn't tell him he was fired, and Gonzalez wondered why he had a flight back to Atlanta before the series was concluded. All right, I get it. You're on the road. Management is back home. They want to let you go as quickly as possible. They want to peel the Band-Aid off quickly. I understand. But you can't book the flight and send it to his email before you at least have a conference call with the man. You owe him that courtesy. It's, I worked at a radio station one time, and the station was being sold and we were all getting let go. And I remember getting the mass email, the email that said all staff meeting tomorrow at 10 o'clock. And I remember thinking, this is it. We're done. Like, that's a bad way to know. This is a terrible way to know. Poor Freddy Gonzalez. He must have been like, gee, I wonder, I got this interesting email. I wonder why I'm on a flight to Atlanta tomorrow. That's interesting. Maybe I should call the bosses and find out why. Oh, they're not picking up. John Capella's office. Hi, this is Freddie. Oh, yeah, hi, Freddie. I got an email saying I got a flight to Atlanta. I don't know if you misbooked this or something, or is there any reason why I'm on this flight tomorrow as I prepare for the Pirates? Oh, yeah, yeah. About that, Freddie. Listen, there's no other way to say this, so I guess I'll just get right to the point. We got to let you go. Yeah, gee, John, I could kind of figure that out. Because I didn't think you'd want the manager of the baseball team to be on a flight to Atlanta when, I don't know, he's supposed to be managing against the Pittsburgh Pirates. Really, really odd conversation that must have been. I hope Freddy Gonzalez gets another job. I really do. I think he will. I hope he does. Because Atlanta, the Braves set him up for this. They got rid of good players. They left him with young, bad players that he's trying to grow into good Major League Baseball players. And to be honest with you, this was a firing that you could have predicted at the beginning of the season if you were smart in the Atlanta Braves office. You basically given him a minor league roster and told him to win major league games with it. In February, you knew this was going to take place. You knew the team was going to be bad. What would have been good for the Atlanta Braves at this time? They're 9-28, right? That means they've played 37 games. What would have been good? 15-22? What would have been better? 9-28 is about what the Atlanta Braves really are. Yahoo Sports Radio.